Okay, my name is Frank Morales. I'm the assistant at St. Mark's Church in the Bowery. I got into this subject of government-sponsored terrorism way back when, including in 1993. My friend Chris Flash, Paul DiRanzo, and I wrote a story called FBI Bombed World Trade Center. This is about the earlier terrorist action that took place at the World Trade Center. We got some copies of this back there in terms of, you know, just in terms of historical archive material. I'd strongly suggest that you take a look at it. The Shadow, our own local underground newspaper. Okay, we're going to keep the program moving. Next, we have Dr. James Fetzer. Dr. Fetzer is the Distinguished McKnight University Professor at Emeritus, University of Minnesota Duluth, Department of Philosophy, and he's a co-founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. His list of scholarly credentials is too long to list. Suffice to say, he's been at the forefront of the 9/11 Truth movement, doing countless lectures and interviews, including on Fox News with Sean Hannity, the lovable Sean Hannity, I might add. His energy and commitment to the cause of exposing the crimes of 9/11 at the highest levels of government within our government are invaluable. I'd like to introduce Dr. James Fetzer.
I'm very proud to be here and to follow Judy Wood, who, by virtue of her background and degrees in civil engineering, mechanical engineering, materials science, may be the single most qualified scientific member of the 9/11 Truth movement. Notwithstanding her magnificent contributions, which appear to me to include the most elegant possible proof that the official government account cannot possibly be correct, her continuation at Clemson University has been terminated. At least in part, she is convinced because of her research on 9/11. Her case may be the most striking illustration of a tendency emerging around the country of attacking faculty who are investigating 9/11. There are instances in New Hampshire where Bill Woodward, who's a psychologist, who's been teaching there for some 25 years, has been investigating psychological aspects of 9/11. Kevin Barrett from the humanities is teaching a course on Islam at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where he, of necessity, is addressing the impact of the events of 9/11 on the attitude of the Islamic world toward the United States. Stephen Jones, professor of physics, at Brigham Young University, whom I invited to be my co-chair when I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in mid-December, and who has made very significant progress in seeking to explain exactly what happened on 9/11 to the towers. And I want to accent that what Steve is attempting to do is a very different and more challenging task than being able to prove that the government's account is false. We have been able to prove the government's account is false in every significant respect. It is not just false in part. It appears to be false in its entirety. If you think of a theory as written on a paper and suspended in space with little threads that provide links down to reality that are supposed to anchor that theory, where some of those links might include passenger manifests, others might include the amount of training these guys had, others might include whether they are or are not dead. Others might include the rate of time at which the buildings fell. Others, the amount of explosive necessary to pulverize the concrete, the furniture, the desks, the computers, and turn living things, including human beings, into little specks of dust, then you realize that when we investigate every single aspect, every one of those threads, they simply don't exist. There are no anchors between this theory to reality, which means that it has the status of a myth. And I'm going to let you in on a secret which astonished me when I discovered it, and which you can verify from even a source as accessible as Wikipedia. Philip Zelikow, who was made the executive director of the 9/11 Commission report, is not a scientist, he is not an historian. He came from the inner sanctum of the Bush administration. He had assisted in overseeing the transition of the national security apparatus from the Clinton administration to the Bush administration. He'd even co-authored a book with Condoleezza Rice. But most interestingly of all, his area of professional scholarly expertise is the creation and maintenance of myths. It's astonishing, but it's true. I was so stunned that I took that page of Wikipedia, captured it, and put it on our website for Scholars for 9/11 Truth so it wouldn't simply disappear. Go there and read it for yourself. Astonishing stuff. Now, these attacks are frequently, and by the way, this appears to be, to me, to be just as blatant and in your face as hiring a company to clear out all that steel in rapid fashion over the protests of the fire departments, the fire commanders, the fire magazines, who knew it all needed to be retained for forensic purposes, a company by the name of Controlled Demolition Incorporated. Now, some of the arguments that have been given for criticizing these faculty members verge on the absurd. Everyone with any experience in higher education understands there's a fundamental difference between the administration, the faculty, and the staff. The claim has been made that there's a confusion as to whether the faculty were speaking for the institution. Let me let you in on a little secret. The faculty never speak for the institution. The only individuals entrusted with that responsibility are the administrators. And believe me, the administrators know it. So if any of their faculty are being censured because they are speaking in a way that implies they're speaking for the institution, they know full well that's not possible. Faculty actually are in the category analogous to independent contractors. We always speak for ourselves and only for ourselves. So that's a clear-cut misunderstanding where criticism of them may be made for false reasons. Another is the extent to which this criticism has been taking place. You have the governor of New Hampshire. You have a United States senator from New Hampshire attacking Bill Woodward for dealing with this in his course. You have the Republican candidate for governor. You have a Republican legislator. You even have the Democratic governor of Wisconsin attacking Kevin Barrett for dealing with this in Islam. You have Steve Jones being subjected to censure for multiple positions, and although I would say the administration had been at least mildly supportive in the past, seeking to disentangle his scientific research from public appearances and asking him to confine himself primarily to scientific contexts, lectures, and conferences, leaving to me the primary responsibility for addressing these issues in public fora, it has now altered its attitude and is subjecting him to a review and has placed him on a paid leave. They have taken this man out of the classroom, and I would observe that's particularly outrageous since he's not teaching courses on 9/11. But if he were, what would be wrong with that? Stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. The administration itself, the President of the United States, has described 9/11 as the pivotal event of the 21st century. This is the event that changed everything. In our society, the institutions that are dedicated to investigating significant historical events are colleges and universities. To suggest that the faculty of colleges and universities should not be studying the pivotal event of the 21st century is absurd. Moreover, many of these politicians who themselves are abysmally ignorant of what actually happened on 9/11 are particularly upset because the faculty are investigating and talking about conspiracies. Well, let me let them in on a little secret. According to the government, 11 Islamic fundamentalists hijacked 4 commercial airliners, outfoxed the most sophisticated air defense system in the world, and perpetrated these dastardly acts under control of a man in a cave in Afghanistan. That, my friends, is a conspiracy. Which means that these political attacks from politicians who know nothing about 9/11 and are unwilling to come to grips with the issues, they aren't even willing to visit the website for Scholars for 9/11 Truth. They don't know what the facts are. They're seeking to have faculty fired because they're dealing with facts of which they are themselves abysmally ignorant and refuse to discover what those facts are. Now, when the accusation is made that someone out there is out of touch with reality, which parties would that be? You cannot investigate the pivotal event of the 21st century without studying conspiracy theories. And what we have discovered is that the most widespread, widely held conspiracy theory itself is hopelessly untenable. I have sometimes said, the government's account of 9/11 is just fine if you're willing to believe impossible things. It involves the violation of laws of physics, of engineering, and of aerodynamics that, as laws of nature, cannot be violated and cannot be changed. As Judy Wood illustrated here, the account is not only false, it can't possibly be true. It gives a depiction of events that would violate laws of nature. It's a physical impossibility. Now, a second line of attack, equally unjustifiable, but which has intellectual pretensions, comes from the news magazines of our time, Time Magazine, U.S. News and World Report, which are including studies that suggest those of us who are looking into 9/11, those of us who dissent from the government's position, those who think there was more to it, those of us who have been forced to the conclusion that a conspiracy appears to have been involved, and there were evildoers. But they appear to reside a whole lot closer than Afghanistan, Iraq, or Saudi Arabia. I mean, you know, many even fail to recognize that of the 19 alleged hijackers, 15 were from Saudi Arabia, 2 were from the United Arab Emirates, none of them. Not one was from Iraq. So I would suggest attacking Iraq was not exactly the obvious thing to do under circumstances of this kind. So here we have an article viewing 9/11 from a grassy knoll in the current issue of U.S. News and World Report. Now, these reporters, needless to say, are doing research, and you'd expect that what they would say, at least in their most basic aspects, would be reasonable and accurate. Here's a key paragraph. There are some divergent strands among the conspiracy theorists, but for most of them, the story has 2 major tenets. The World Trade Center towers and nearby Building 7, although struck by planes, were brought down by controlled demolitions, and the Pentagon was struck by a missile, not a plane. Well, isn't that fascinating? It's news to me that Building 7 was struck by a plane. Indeed, what's fascinating about Building 7 is precisely that it was not struck by any plane, had no jet fuel-based fires, and yet came down at 5:20 in the afternoon after Larry Silverstein, who had leased the World Trade Center and insured it only 6 weeks before for $3.5 billion against a terrorist attack, had a conversation with somebody he described as the fire commander, and I think that hesitation indicates he knew him under a different designation, and suggested that there had been so much loss of life and property, maybe the best thing to do was to pull it. He said they made the decision to pull and they watched the building come down. It had all of the signs of a controlled demolition. Peter Jennings and Dan Rather on the scene at the time said, "This looks just like those resorts and casinos we've seen come down in Las Vegas." And it looked just like those resorts and casinos they'd seen come down in Las Vegas because precisely the same techniques were used to bring it down. An article from Popular Mechanics has now been turned into a book. And NIST has put out a series of answers to frequently asked questions. But I invite anyone who thinks that there's a scientific basis to the government's position to review the NIST question and answers, which we posted on Scholars for 9/11 Truth, st911.org, along with six or seven responses. And if you can find anything left of a scientific foundation for the government's case after you read through those exchanges, please do let me know. Indeed, the scientific effort here has become so bizarre that a prominent chemist from MIT by the name of Thomas Eagar, E-A-G-A-R, has continued an unwarranted assault on the research of Steve Jones, most recently by not only reiterating his position that it was the fuel load and the fires that brought the buildings down, which we know to be untrue and can prove to be false, but he's nevertheless reasserting it, has gone to the extent of quoting a self-confessed old country boy from Kentucky who says, trying to explain how Steve could have found residue of thermite in his study of the steel samples he's been able to get a hold of, which goes along with the NIST's admission that there are residue of sulfur on steel beams they have, where thermite plus sulfur creates thermate, which Steve believes was the method used to cut through the steel, and in combination with other explosives created the effects that Judy Wood so vividly presented. This old country boy from Kentucky said, well, he looked around and found there were a lot of ingredients where if you put them together the right way, you could get thermate. He said, I even created a combination thermite-hydrogen reaction from beefsteak. Although beef liver works better. So I am now fashioning the hypothesis that Thomas Eagar of MIT believes that those planes that hit the World Trade Center were loaded with beefsteak and chopped liver. And if anyone has any doubt whether the government has been lying to us about 9/11, bear this in mind. The President of the United States himself admitted at a recent press conference when confronted by a reporter that Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11. A Senate Intelligence Committee released a report Friday that observed that there were no connections or ties between Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. And as long as 2 months ago on 22 June, when I was on Hannity and Combs, I pointed out to Oliver North, sitting in for Sean Hannity, that the FBI itself, and I had to remind him, Ollie, this is our FBI, had reported that it had no hard evidence connecting Osama bin Laden to the events of 9/11. Well, if it wasn't Saddam Hussein and it wasn't Osama bin Laden, then who was it? Somebody was responsible for that. 3,000 innocent lives were taken on this occasion. It is the highest form of respect to devote ourselves to finding out how they died and why they died. And here in this great city, which experienced this monumental tragedy, I say, if the New York Times is not going to get to the bottom of this, by God, we will.
Jim Fetzer. So despite the fact that, as Dr. Fetzer points out, the FBI claims there's no evidence linking bin Laden to 9/11, John McCain, in the intro to the Debunking the Conspiracy Theory Popular Mechanics book, goes out of his way to make the point that the evidence for Al-Qaeda's central role in the 9/11 attacks is overwhelming.